Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy Connecting the Light. Today I have the return of Deborah Hill. She was with us in June earlier this year. She is an intuitive coach, counsellor, speaker and author, and I guess it's best summed up that her ambition is to be involved in the healing and coaching of others. So welcome to the program again, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
Well, you're very welcome. I recall we had a very good interview before, and I don't think we actually covered everything that I had in mind. Now, what I'd first like to ask you is, 6 months is not a long time since you were last with us, but anything exciting happened to you?
Well, it has been a very exciting, happy year. I've been doing a lot of healing. As you know, I had breast cancer, and I feel like I'm really getting going now. And I've also developed a new ebook, and my book, The Unlimited Life, is now available as an ebook, and I have a workbook to go with it that's coming out in January. I'm very excited. A lot of new products coming on board. And Been a good fall. How about you?
Oh yes, very well, thank you. I enjoy good health, and that's an important thing, which really very conveniently leads me to the first question. You have 4 degrees in medicine and psychology, and your belief is we are what we eat. Now, how does all that fit in with your coaching? What is it you take, say, from your knowledge of medicine and psychology that enables you to make that statement? Because some people may wonder what you mean by you are what you eat. So let's hear what you have to say about that.
Well, just first of all, to clarify, when I'm doing my coaching, I'm looking at people intuitively, and I can see where they are and where on their path and what's going on with them. So the information I give them is very individual, including information on what's going on with their health. I did spend a lot of time in college. I just really like to learn. And I've also spent a lot of time exploring all sorts of different diets, and I've been vegetarian since the early 70s, not been eating chemicals. I've been exercising. And through my experience and my sensitivity, it's been more of an understanding within my body that I know that whenever I eat something, I can feel the effects of what I'm eating that are affecting my body. I think it's pretty clear if you overeat, sugar is a real obvious one. You're going to be buzzed, and then you're going to crash. And that's the most clear example of how what you eat affects what's going on within you. You know, our body has been created to eat certain foods and does best with certain foods. And things that aren't right for it, it has a hard time handling.
So
if you eat things... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, what is the worst scenario for someone that is eating very badly? I mean, what type of foods would, say, for example, cause extremes in health?
I think the only thing that I could say across the board that is difficult for everybody to handle are unnatural chemicals that are created, dyes and preservatives and food that's overly processed, that has no nutrition. It gets in the body and it really clogs things up. Another thing that is true across the board is if you eat too much of anything, you're going to get sluggish. Beyond that, I think you really have to be in tune with your own body. I was just reading an article about how you can have people in Africa who are living on meat and the fat from the meat and milk, and that's pretty much what they eat, and they're very healthy. Whereas you have other people who are vegetarian in other parts of the world, and they're healthy. I think a lot of it really has to do with your own individual body and paying attention to how you feel after you eat something.
Yes, I can agree with that, because I believe there is a case made for some people to be meat eaters. And I think the advice is given not to try and force a different diet on yourself if it seems that your body actually needs what is in meat. So maybe it isn't always to people's detriment. Is that how you see it?
Exactly. That's exactly right, Mike. It isn't really what you eat. There are different types of food. I would say that certain foods, if you're going to eat meat, I would eat a meat that doesn't have hormones in it, that is processed well so that your body can handle it. Eat healthy products, whatever you're eating. Make sure they're wholesome and created in an environment without chemicals, an environment that's helpful and for that animal, such as cage-free eggs. Well, I suppose eggs that are created by chickens who are in cages may not be as may have an equal nutritional value as other cageless eggs, but you got to watch for chemicals and other things that are being put into the chickens, and maybe sometimes into the eggs of those types of
products. Would it also follow that if you, say, were a red meat eater and you wanted to make a slow change, that eating white meat would be a good step to take?
Yes. In fact, that's how I became vegetarian. I did that because I heard that meat was bad for you, that vegetarian was the best diet. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try. At that point, everybody was saying if you didn't eat meat, you'd die. So I had to be very careful. So first I stopped eating red meat, and I saw, well, how did I feel? Did I feel more energetic? And for me, I felt a lot lighter. I felt like I had a lot more energy, a lot more power. I was thinking more clearly. And then I cut out white meat, and I even felt better. And I cut out fish. And I kept going until I got to the place. I became vegan for a while, and then
yes.
I got pregnant, and my body said, I want dairy. Eggs, give it to me now. And honestly, throughout my life, there have been times when I have wanted meat, and I've learned that when my body says, I want a piece of meat, I can eat a room full of tofu, and it's just not going to do it. So I'll go and I'll get a really good piece of meat and I'll eat it and it will be good at that time. It feels great and I'm done. Usually for a year or two.
It really comes down to then, I think as you said, listening to your body. Maybe that is where your own intuition comes in, isn't it? Is it right for me? Does it feel right? And so forth.
Exactly. I've done some fasting as well, and after I've done the fast, I've taken my body shopping for food. And I'll take food and I'll just think about eating that food and feel how my stomach feels, how my solar plexus and the stomach area, the intestines, see if it feels good. If my body doesn't want it, it tightens up in that area.
Yes.
I did the same thing when I was going through chemotherapy, because the body gets very particular about what it will eat. And every day I had to have a cheese and avocado sandwich. It was just all I wanted. And I wanted cream soups and all. And I would just look at things, and if I could look at something spicy, and my stomach hurt before I even put it in my mouth. I could tell. I noticed. So if you can just pay attention to what's happening in your stomach, get sensitive to it, Or if you can't do it by just looking at it, notice when you put it in your mouth. Pay attention to what your body's doing. It will give you signals about what it wants and does not want.
Right. There's probably a good message in what you said for parents, isn't there, where their children are concerned. Because I think in most families, mum will cook a meal and she expects everyone to eat it. And if a child said, for example, I don't like sprouts, I can't stand the taste of them, etc., maybe that's their body saying, no, that isn't the best thing for you. So is there a message in that type of understanding?
I think there is. I've noticed that when I was raising my daughter, I raised her healthy. I didn't necessarily raise her vegetarian. She could eat meat or whatever she wanted to outside the home. I didn't cook it. But I noticed, and she would eat what was good for her, and so I was feeding her fresh vegetables. I was feeding her really healthy food. And when she would go out, when she was 3 years old, she went out with my mom and ordered a salad.
Yes.
Everybody was very upset. But then she went to preschool.
Hmm.
And she would come home and say, all of a sudden, I don't like peas. I hate peas. Why do you hate peas? Well, Joey hates peas. I hate peas.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we get, you know, programmed, socially programmed to eat what other people eat. So, yes, to a certain extent, I agree with you.
Right. Now, I think the ultimate suggestion, if you want to be healthy, is to eat as much raw food as you can. Now, that may be, for a lot of people, a tall order. Did you ever reach that stage?
I did do a raw food diet. I've tried it twice in my life, and to be honest with you, it just does not work for me. I do eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. But to just live on raw food, my body needs some cooked food. I don't know if my ancestry is Eastern European, eating a lot of potatoes and cooked things. But even I was seen by a doctor from India, and they do the pulses, and they tell you what kinds of foods. And he told me to eat only cooked food.
Yes.
I didn't go that far. But I think, I know that a lot of people get healed and thrive on a raw food diet. And I think it's very important to eat as many fresh fruits and vegetables as you can.
Yes.
So eat a lot of nuts.
It's sensible, really, to try and eat what you really feel is doing you good, but try to point it in the direction of what are clearly healthy type foods. Now, something you said at the beginning of the interview, which I'd like to come back to, you said as an intuitive, you can see where people are on their path. What did you mean by that? Which path?
Well, we all have a path that we're on, where we're supposed to be, and we can be either on our path, doing what we're meant to be doing or wanting to be doing right now, or we can be off the path. We can be ahead of ourselves. We're pushing it and trying, worrying about the future, or we could be holding back in fear. We can be spaced out and sort of flying off in nowheresville, or you can be here and present in real time. So what I'm able to do is I look at people, I call myself the mainstream coach that goes deeper than mainstream. So I look at people where they are now, but I'm also able to see them on a very spiritual level, on an essential level. The person that we came in with when we were babies, before we could think, who that person is, and I see that person and what it's trying to do and where it is. And I speak to those issues. So I speak to the person both at that level and I speak to them at this level, try to bring the two together so that the transformation can come more quickly.
Are you actually talking about their guides? Is that what you mean?
I can look at guides and I can talk to them about guides, but I actually just talk to the person, that person, and individually. For instance, you know, I could do it with you if you want to disclose yourself on the radio.
I dare you.
Or not. But, you know, it basically, for instance, I had someone come in. I saw two people yesterday. And one person came in, and I looked at her, and she was so strong and so on her path and so in present time. She was just flourishing. And the only thing, she was actually a young person. She was 16 or 17 years old, and she had to try to figure out how to get along with parents, how to get along with, in the world, it's really hard to be a teenager right now. There's a lot of drugs being done. There's a lot of people doing things that if you're really wanting to move in the right direction, it's hard to avoid some obstacles. So she was trying to figure her way out, but she was very present. I had a person that I looked at the other day, and she was really into planning her life. She would not take a step forward unless she had everything planned out and she knew exactly what was going to happen. So what would happen is she was sort of behind. She was holding back. She wasn't in present time because she was really so controlling about what she thought had to have happened. She wasn't able to be here and just be spontaneous at all. To be in present time, you have to have a certain amount of spontaneity and be present and know what's going on, pick up the signals from your environment, from other people, and be very aware and respond to things in the moment. It's good to have a plan, but plans can change. And you have to look at whether you need to stick to plan or you need to let go and something else is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Do you believe in the type of abilities or personalities that are described astrologically?
I've had astrological readings in the past, and as much as my mind wants to say that's impossible, that can't make sense, every time I've had a session with somebody that actually looks at me personally, what the date, the time, and all that, it's been really right on. It's kind of uncanny. Do I go to an astrologer to tell me what to do every day? I don't. I like to take things spontaneously. And just, I find that sometimes I'm experiencing something and I'll look at what's going on for that day astrologically, whether it's an eclipse or something, and they'll say what you will experience, and I find out, that's what I'm doing. Exactly.
When you mentioned this lady you had who was sort of totally organized in everything she did and not spontaneous, that sort of rings a bell with me. I don't mean I'm like that, but I do know people who are, and I just wondered if you were also interested in astrological types, whether you found some evidence for what they attribute to the different signs of the zodiac sort of coming true in your own experience.
That's a good point. I have noticed tendencies in certain people. I have not used astrology in the sessions that, or looked at the astrology or their birthdays in the sessions that I'm doing. I get so much information, and it's so right on coming exactly just from that person. I'm not interpreting data or advising on what I think they should do. I'm looking at this person, where they are, and what they're wanting to do. And it's like reading a book. They tell me everything. So I don't really use other tools to analyze them. But when I do look at the people in general, I do notice certain things.
Right. Now, you're talking about diet and people's health. If they come to you specifically because they want help to find their spiritual path, how do you approach that?
You know, I don't think anyone's come to me to find a spiritual path. They've come to me to connect with spirit, or just to be connected, or to find out where they need to go next, or what they need to do. And so, you know, it's interesting to think of it that way, is what is the difference between spiritual and our path right now, everything that we're doing. I think everything we do is spiritual when you're connected with yourself, with your higher self. The key is to see that person all the time, and then your whole life is spiritual.
I could imagine someone coming to you and saying, what is the purpose of my life?
Yes, that could be. And I would look at them and I can see what they're trying to do. For me, my understanding is the purpose of our life is to experience, to see who we are. I feel like we're in a school. We come to have a school experience and to see who we are and work through things within ourselves. Because when we're here in this 3D reality, everything's seriously magnified. Things seem very, very important. That when you're not really here, whether it's like you're not alive or you're actually just even the spacing out, or even when you're not feeling well, certain things don't seem that important. You know, it's interesting when people have cancer, they really evaluate what is really important in their life. And everything really changes. So you get kind of a perspective from there, too. So what is the purpose? For me, what I see is the purpose for people and for ourselves is to know who we are, to be able to have the opportunity to grow and change and communicate with other people and learn and experience, and to experience joy here on this planet.
Great, yes, wouldn't we all? Now, you say that you offer practical concepts for conquering self-imposed obstacles that prevent people from making the most of out of life's challenges and opportunities. I mean, what sort of obstacles do people find in life that they need help with?
Well, there are a lot of obstacles. I think I go over 16 of them. We all have our own individual favorites, and everybody has ones that, in fact, I have a couple new books coming out, how to have unlimited relationships, how to have unlimited success. I think one concept that we all have at one time in our life, if not right now, is I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
And, especially now with the holidays, you feel like, I just can't handle it. I just don't have enough time to do everything I need to do. It seems like all the pieces of the puzzle just don't fit. And this is an interesting concept because it's based on our view of time. We're told that time is linear. And that we have to fit everything onto this linear path. You know, there's past, there's future, there's what we're going to do next, what we're going to do next. And if you think about it, like, that doesn't make any sense because we live in a 3D reality, at least a 3D reality. How could time be linear if everything else is all around us? It doesn't make sense, right? So if you shift your thinking to, oh, everything doesn't happen just one thing at a time, everything's happening all the time.
Yes.
It's being influenced by things all around us. And then the truth is, Einstein said it, and we've actually known it since the beginning of the 19th century, time is not three-dimensional. It's a fourth-dimensional reality. I won't go into all the physics because I actually do all-day workshop on this. But it's the truth is there's a lot more to time than we realize. And we can compress time. We can decide that we want to do something in a certain amount of time, and it can happen that way. Have you ever done that?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and it seems uncanny. How did I get here so quick? Because you just decided that was going to happen, or you just decide I'm going to accomplish all this in a certain amount of time, and it happens.
I think, Deborah, one thing is for certain, time isn't constant. That really is the point, isn't it?
Yeah. Time is all around us. time is a dimension, and it can provide for you. And so you can, if you believe that time is limited, that time is linear, and you don't have enough of it, you'll create that. So the truth is, time is unlimited, and you will have as much time as you need to do what you need to do. Yeah, right. Some of the things that you want to do will fall off, but maybe you just don't need to do those things.
I think one thing is for certain, and so many people comment on it at this particular time, is that it seems to be speeding up.
Mm-hmm. It feels like things are moving faster. In a certain way, it looks like what's happening is the growth is happening a lot faster. We're expanding our consciousness and our awareness. And as that happens, we become more aware, we see more potential of everything that's going on. And that lights up the time element, and it seems to be going faster. And if you notice, at the same time as time seems to be going faster, if you can stay present, time is like absolutely stopped at the same time. So if you can just stay here in the moment, time is standing still. You can have that juxtaposition, and then you can get a control of what you want to do in time.
Yes.
That's a lot of information in just a 2-minute sentence.
I think it's true to say that it always seems that when you're enjoying yourself, time seems to go quickly. But if you're sitting in the dentist's or the doctor's surgery and you're not too happy about what the outcome might be, just sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes seems like an eternity.
It does. I'll tell you the longest minute of my life. Mm. I went to ski in Europe, and a friend talked us into doing a bobsled run. And, you know, it looked fine. It was cold. We're all bundled up. And they pile us into this bobsled, Olympic bobsled. And
right.
There's 4 of us, and we're all sitting, you know, on top of each other, our knees around
yeah.
each other. And it's this metal thing, and they push us down the ice. And I tell you, it felt like my bones were going to break. We were shaking so much, I literally feared for my life. I was praying to angels. I was calling on God. I was saying, please help me. This is not how I want to die.
No,
I felt like my neck was going to break. And it was only 1 minute and 6 seconds. And I tell you, it seemed like eternity.
I bet, yes. Well, it was frightening, wasn't it?
Clearly. It was. It was very frightening.
Yes. Now, you mentioned a little earlier your 16 powerful truths. Do you give those out every time you have someone for a one-to-one sort of life coaching? I mean, is it something you're very strong about and pass on to people all of the time?
The thing that I'm the most strong about is to get rid of your limiting beliefs. I look for obstacles that people have in front of them, like that one person, that belief that she had to have everything organized and just right before she moved forward or else she was going to make a mistake, that kind of belief will really hang someone up. So I look for the personal limiting beliefs in each person. I like to give this book to people because it helps people. The first chapter talks about limiting beliefs and how we have them, how to create our life, and how our beliefs and thinking can prevent us from having what we want in our life, and how to break that cycle. And then the examples I give, I think, are relevant to a lot of people. I like to talk about it in my workshops, and I speak on it. When I'm doing coaching, I'm really looking at each person's issues. Some people have these issues, and it will come up for them, and I know the truth that, yeah, we do have plenty of time.
Hmm.
But it's a very personal experience.
Yes. I would imagine one of the biggest obstacles people have is when they're faced with something or maybe an opportunity to do something, and they say, I can't do it.
it happens a lot, and people will do that for various reasons. Either I'm not qualified, that's a good one, you know, make an excuse, I haven't had enough education, or I don't have enough time, or it's the project is just for some reason more than I can handle. And we like to give ourselves a lot of excuses for that. And the truth is that if you are asked to do something, if something comes up for you, you can do it. Because something won't appear on your path unless you're able to handle it. It's an interesting concept because we have this idea of who we are and what we can do, but we're going to constantly grow, and sometimes we don't see how we've grown. Sometimes we don't see our potential. But energetically, the universe knows our potential. We are energetically a certain vibration, and we have a certain power. And when we vibrate at a certain level, we will attract to us the things that we can do or want to do.
Right.
So if
yes.
if something comes up for us, it's impossible that we can't handle it because we've attracted it to us. We can handle it.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it. You can say no. I don't think I want to do it. But you are able to do it.
Right. Now, I must say that all through my life, if I've been asked to do something or try it, and somebody is convinced I can do it, then I do so, even if I have doubts myself. And I must admit that I have taken on things that I wouldn't have thought I really wanted to do,
right.
And it's worked out quite fine.
It's very exciting, isn't it, to see that you can pull it off, too?
Yes.
What are some of the things? Do you remember something that you did?
Well, I think even during these programs, up to a point, I mean, I was invited to be the host of a program by the kindness of Donald Newsom, the top guy on BBS. Mm-hmm. So I said, fine. So I gave it a try, and here I am.
Here you are.
I wasn't very sure about it, I must admit.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this?
Oh dear, you've caught me out there. A couple of years maybe. I can't quite recall when I started. Yeah, it must be, I think, a couple of years. Yeah, but I enjoy it now. I mean, it's so nice to be able to talk to people, and I choose my own guests. And I get plenty to choose from. So I choose people like you because you're talking my language and on subjects I have some knowledge about. So I enjoy it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you do.
Yes.
So that it seems like an impossibility, something you never had considered. But then you went out and tried it, and sure enough, you can do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, enjoy it. Now, from a lot of the expressions you use, I have a suspicion that you've developed your own spiritual pathway. Do you have an interest in some form of spirituality as your personal sort of life plan?
Well, I've studied many different, all the different religions. I was raised Jewish, and I feel like that I am, really. I mean, there's genetically, I am. And there's a part of me that really resonates with that, and I studied that intensely. And I've also studied a lot of other religions. Being intuitive, I have the blessing of being able to talk with the masters and the angels. And
right.
So I get information from them. And to me, it's about growth, and that's my spiritual path. I take things that feel right for me from all the different faiths. I'm lighting Hanukkah candles. It's a lovely tradition because you bring the light down, and you do that every night. And I celebrate Yom Kippur because it's a day where all you do is think about the things that didn't work out and the things that you want for the next year, and just really forgive yourself and others. And ask yourself, and they say ask God to forgive you, but I think God forgives everybody. I don't think God's judging you. It's you letting go and releasing and seeing where you've messed up. And if you don't do that, you'll just continue to keep messing up until you figure it out.
Yeah, I think your spiritual understanding possibly serves you very well, and your clients, because you obviously have a higher view, if you like, of your clients and their problems and the answers to them. And I think you must be giving them very good advice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I get a lot of great feedback. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Well, did you ever feel that you were destined to do your type of work? I mean, was it something you knew you were going to do before you started?
I felt like I've always wanted to do something, and I was told that I was going to write a book for most of my life, and I never knew what it was. I was sort of a closet intuitive, because as I grew up, I was invalidated. A lot of people are invalidated. We're invalidated for our intuition, but mine didn't go away, and so I felt I was kind of crazy. About 17 years ago, teacher Jim Self opened me up to seeing the extent of my ability, and I studied with Michael Tamora a great deal and other people as well, and learned to be present here and to own that ability. So I've always felt like I wanted to help others. I didn't really know how that was going to play out, hence I have 4 degrees in medicine. I was a nurse midwife. I have studied all forms of natural healing, tried all these different things, and then now I know where I am and what I need to do. And you know, it's always evolving, Mike. Don't you think we're always seeing new ways of opening up to where we're going as we expand?
Absolutely.
But I know that I'm doing the right thing.
And I cannot help but think, although perhaps when you took some of these courses, you weren't quite sure where it was going to lead to, they all seem to be of value in the work you're doing today.
Yes, I took the courses mostly just for my own growth. I went I did personal growth, self-awareness classes. I guess I've been doing that for, I don't know, I'm at the age that I don't even know how many years it's been. I can just say I started in the late 60s, maybe. Early
70s. You're like all of us. We reach a certain age and don't count them anymore.
It's too much to add up, you know. Just remember the year and let them do the math. So I've been doing a lot of that. And this was a self-growth study brought me to doing my clairvoyant. I would go through periods where I'd study a lot with somebody and then decided to take a break. And then I decided at one point I needed some more information, and I was in a pottery class. And this person, who I had no idea was even spiritual, said to me, "You need to take this class. You need to go see this guy." And I'm like, "Really?" I said, "Okay." So I went to see an introductory lecture, and he was talking about clairvoyance, and I'm crossing my arms and legs like, okay, prove it to me. And 10 minutes into it, I'm like, sold. Okay, this is just right for me. So I took lots of courses, and that information was very valuable. And that's basically, I teach a lot of the same things. I think that's what we do. We teach what we learn, and or what we need to learn. Teaching it. And so I kept studying this, and part of what we did was we call them readings, and I would do readings, and you just look at people, and I found out while I was really, really doing really well with the readings, and what's more is people were saying, "Wow, you changed my life." And, oh, that's a good thing. I want to do more of that.
Lovely, so you're certainly very versatile. Now, you have a whole list of titles. I don't know whether they are little articles you've done, but there's one that intrigues me and I want you to explain, and that is, you said what you allow is what you receive.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means that life's offering you, there's lots of things being offered to you, and if you can't receive it, then if you don't feel like you deserve it, then it's not going to happen for you. Our beliefs create what we can receive. And if you think that I don't deserve to have a new car, you won't get a new car.
Mm.
If you're not allowing it. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
I was talking, I actually have started a radio show just recently, and it'd be great to have you as a guest on my show sometime. You can go on my website and at theawarenessinitiative.com,
yes,
and you'll see Diva Toolbox radio show. And today I did a show with these women called the Gratitude Girls, and they have 30 days of gratitude at, I have to look up their website.
Right, yeah.
But you can listen to the podcast off of my website. But it was very interesting. We were talking about gift giving, and in order to really give, you have to be able to receive. Because if you're just giving, 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 you're just going to get burned out and wasted. And if you don't allow yourself to also be given energy and fuel and love, love is a good one. A lot of people are closed off to love. They are afraid, or they've been hurt before, or they feel that they don't deserve love, they're not a good person, there's nothing to love about them. Those are really effective beliefs to prevent someone from receiving, so they would not allow themselves to receive what's offered. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. And I also believe that in giving, you set up laws of attraction that bring the same back to you. So I think that's basically what you're saying. It's, I think, comes down to an energy situation. You've heard of the law of attraction, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, I actually teach it. That's part of my book. I go over some of the principles in that. And,
right.
And that was the basis of my book, because I saw, well, people were doing the steps of the law of attraction, but they weren't getting what they wanted, and I saw it's because they're resisting it.
Yes.
So that's why I talked about limiting beliefs. But, yes, I think, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, clearly you have to be very positive in life to receive what you really want, because if you keep saying, I'm never going to get this, or I'm never going to be able to do that, you're creating a negative situation, and in the end you won't. You've got to believe that you will get what your goal is or achieve it.
Right. If you think it won't happen, it won't.
Yes.
I think Henry Ford said that. Though I attribute most quotes to Henry Ford. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm from Detroit.
Well, I think it comes down to one of your other titles, really, when you said your life is what you focus on.
Yes. Clearly. Don't you think?
Oh, it's, yes, kind of... absolutely. I mean, how else would you bring things to yourself?
Yes.
Now, another one of your titles I like... I'm going to get you to explain this one. Dealing with negative people. I mean, how do you deal with them?
I just wrote an article, and in fact, I have two articles on my website. Every month I write an article. You can subscribe to it on my website. And last month's article is called You're Just Not Worth It. And what I realize, see, we have this candle light within us. It's like we have this flame that's within us that is our life source. And if we let that life force get blown out, then we're nothing. So when people are negative, you have a choice. You can allow that energy to come in. You can believe them. You can allow yourself to get affected by it. Or you can decide that that's the person's issue and it doesn't have anything to do with you. I think a lot of us get hurt because we expect people to be different than they are. And when we expect people to be a certain way and they just act out in another way, then we get hurt by it because we think we're responsible for them acting that way. But in truth, everybody acts from where they are coming from. And very little has to do with us. You know, if I said, I could say something to you and it would really make you angry, which I don't think you get that angry very often, but I don't know what that would be. But I could say something to you, whereas I could say something to someone else and it just wouldn't bother them at all. Which gets into the, you know, Debbie Ford's shadow work as well.
Yes.
So I think it's a choice. I was talking to, in fact, one of my clients the other day, and she's very good at handling negative energy. She's a chief marketing officer of an international corporation. And so she has a lot of employees and deals with a lot of people. Some of us, when someone says something negative to us, we wonder, why are you saying that to me? What did I do? Whereas what she does is she says, why are you saying that? What is it within you that makes you say that? What experience did you have that would cause you to say that? In other words, it isn't about her. It's about the person who said it.
Yes.
And then if someone's negative, she's just looking at this person as obviously negative. I'm not taking it personally. Maybe I did say something. But she just looks at them and she sees where they're coming from and asks them to clarify. Now, if someone is negative all the time and really nasty, you probably just want to stay away from that person. Because who wants to be around that kind of energy?
Yes. It must be the very type of person that should come to you for a bit of advice.
Negative people?
Yes. Well, they've got a problem. Yeah, it's a very good point you've made there, because clearly people that have this almost an aggressive approach to other people must have some emotional problem, I feel, or perhaps they feel that they're victims of life, and that is their defense, is to be slightly aggressive with people. Do you find that with your clients sometimes, that they like that?
Some people are aggressive. What I'm seeing is that when somebody feels that they're not being heard and that the life is against them, they feel that they have to actively push their way on other people. Some people have a really strong belief that the world's supposed to be like they see it, and so they're more aggressive. Sometimes it's cultural. You know, you can be a, you know, from a Jewish or Italian family, and, you know, they might talk louder or be, have a more boisterous energy. I like to look at this example of this Chinese restaurant by our house.
Yeah.
And it's very authentic, and so usually it's Chinese people in there. And you can have a room full of Chinese people and kids and everything, and it's really crowded and it's quiet.
Yes.
And then on Sunday nights, a lot of Jewish people come in, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it's loud. It's a really different scenario, and it's just the way these people are. So you could be offended by that, or you could just get in there and be loud yourself and enjoy the atmosphere. It's just a different feeling. So I think sometimes we interpret aggressive energy differently.
Yes, I'm sure that is the case. It's cultural, as you said. Now, we're having such a good time. We're rapidly getting near to the end of my 55 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to give you a minute or two to remind people of your website, where they can get your book. So you can take the stage for a couple of minutes here.
Well, thank you very much. I want to say just one more thing about that aggressive, if I can, is that
yes.
I think when we believe that it's our job to tell other people who they should be and aggressively go after changing them, then we need to reevaluate what our job is here on Earth, because we're all just supposed to be the best people we can be, and we don't. One of my beliefs that I talk about is that we feel we can fix other people, and, you know, it really is not our job. It's our job to support each other and to help each other to fix ourselves.
I agree with you.
Anyways, thanks for asking. My name's Deborah Hill, obviously, and my website is theawarenessinitiative.com. And I'm also on Facebook and at The Awareness Initiative or Deborah Hill. I'm on Twitter, Deborah Hill. And I have my book, Unlimited Life, Limiting Beliefs, and Belief-Busting Power Truths. I also wrote a book that I had conversations with the angels and masters and wrote down what they said, and that's called The Writings of the Masters. And you can find all my books and e-books, and my new e-workbook is coming out in January, which helps you to work through your limiting beliefs, and those that's all available on my website in the products category, as well as the workshop.
Right. Does that cover it, apart from possibly mentioning that you do, I believe, allow people to sign up for a free, what's it, a newsletter?
Free newsletter. Thank you for reminding me. I also blog weekly. And you can go to my website and you'll see the blog, theawarenessinitiative.com/blog, or just go to the site and you'll click on the link. And every week I put a new blog up, and you can subscribe to that. And also you can subscribe to the newsletter, which I put out free article every month. And of course, you know, I'd love to do coaching. I can do coaching in person or on the phone. I have people all over the world that call me. And it's very transformative, you know. I can help people to change.
Right.
Do you
want to give out your telephone number in that case?
Sure. It's 404-459-0590.
Right. Okay. I'm going to have to say thank you very much for coming onto the program again. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
You're such a happy soul, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I've just
thank
got time to tell my listeners that obviously a week today is Christmas Day, so there will be no program live. There may be music, or if they want to replay an archive program, I have one in mind which I'm going to recommend. So it's a case of just either checking with my weekly email notification or checking direct on the BBS radio site. So thank you for being with me today. Do have a happy festive occasion in whatever way you propose to celebrate it. And I look forward to being with you again in the new year. Thank you very much.